Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hear again the words of the Apostle Paul that Sarah just read for us. To encourage the newly established church in Corinth, Paul wrote, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled builder, I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds upon it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Paul is talking about tradition. Paul illustrates the nature of tradition by using the metaphor of constructing a building. A building begins with a strong foundation. This foundation, Paul says, was laid by Jesus Christ. But the foundation, which is the structural basis of a building, is only the first step in constructing the building of tradition. Jesus Christ gave us the foundation. But ordinary folks, people like you and me, build upon that foundation and make it into a tradition. Let each man take care how he builds upon it, Paul says. Take care. Take care. When you build upon the foundation that Jesus laid down for us, take care. It is a sacred trust. How do we do this? How do we, regular, straightforward folks living our regular, straightforward lives, driving back and forth to work through the hills of New Hampshire, how do we build upon the foundation that Christ laid for us? Is it right that we, you and me, should think so highly of ourselves as to imagine that we could help construct the tradition that Jesus founded? Yes, I believe it is right. It is right for the youngest of us. It's right for the oldest of us. It's right for the poorest of us. It's right for the weakest of us. It is right for all of us, for each of us, to believe that we are worthy to be Christ's hands and Christ's heart doing his work in the world. There is a story about a man named Trevor Huddleston. In September of 1940, Huddleston sailed from his native England to become a parish priest in South Africa. Walking through a black slum called Sophiatown, Huddleston encountered a black woman who was standing in the street with her small son. Huddleston took off his hat and greeted the woman politely. "This is a small act, the smallest act of all, saying hello." In 1940, though, this act was not done. No white man ever took off his hat to greet a black woman. It simply was not done. But this small act made a huge impression. The woman's name was Aleta Tutu, and her son, who stood beside her, watching the whole thing very carefully, was named Desmond. Desmond Tutu. Anyone who has visited me during my office hours will know that my office here at the UCJ is quickly filling up with books. My father, you see, was a theologian, a professor, who studied and taught about religion, in particular Christianity. His specialty, the thing that he became well known for, was his scholarship concerning Christianity in Asia. Because of this, my father's life was filled with books. Books, books, books. All the walls in every home I ever knew were covered, floor to ceiling, with books. We didn't have wallpaper. We had books. It was rare to see my father when he was not either reading or writing. That was his life. When he was not teaching, Dad was reading. When he lived with me at the end of his life, he was terribly sick, but that didn't stop him from sending me out to the bookstore with a list of books to buy. He hadn't heard about Amazon yet. He'd only just managed to get his books properly sorted on the bookshelves in his study when he ended up in the hospital and soon died. And suddenly, all of those books, that vast library of human knowledge that he'd been sifting through for more than half a century, was abandoned, and I could not get rid of them. I couldn't do it. I'd spent years of my life admiring them, wondering what was inside them, wanting to open them, wanting somehow to find the internal strength and the discipline of mind to tackle those books, to discover what was to be found there. But when he died, I was too grief-stricken to imagine reading one book, let alone begin the lifetime project of tackling all of them. So I did the only thing I could imagine to do, which was to go down to Staples and buy 50 banker's boxes, which I filled up with Dad's books and put numbers on each of the top of each of the boxes and stacked them one by one in the basement. I hooked up a dehumidifier to make sure that they didn't get moldy and rot. And then I waited. If any church was crazy enough to call me, I said to myself, I would have an office. And if I had an office, I'd have a place for all of my father's books. So, every time I'm about to make my drive up to Jaffrey, I head down to the basement and grab one of those banker's boxes and throw it in the back of my Prius. This morning's gospel lesson from the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew contains within it two of Christ's most enduring and often quoted teachings. Indeed, one might consider these teachings to be foundational. That is to say, if, as Apostle Paul said, Christ made the foundation, and we are to take care to build upon that foundation, perhaps we can consider these two teachings to be among the most important of those teachings that make that foundation. Here they are. One of them goes like this. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. We, of course, know this teaching as turn the other cheek. Most people, the non-churched, people who practice other religions, even those who practice no religion at all, most people know the phrase, turn the other cheek, and they know what it means. It means that when someone is unjust to you, that does not give you the license to be unjust to them. It means that injustice is wrong, and we must avoid inflicting injustice on others, even if they inflict it upon us. It means that humility is closer to God than vengeance. In 1996, 2 years after the abolition of the apartheid system in South Africa, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission began its difficult work. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission offered the possibility of amnesty for perpetrators of apartheid-era crimes if the killers came forward and told the truth. In most cases, the murderers were required to stand in front of the wives and mothers of the people that they had killed and ask for their forgiveness. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission was based upon the idea of restorative justice, not retributive justice. Not justice that takes retribution, but justice that restores. As hard as this justice is, it is a justice that seeks truth. It is a justice that honors Jesus' foundational idea that humility is closer to God than vengeance. The chairman of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission was a man named Desmond Tutu. The other famous teaching that we find in today's reading goes like this: love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Really? Love Osama bin Laden? Is that even possible? These are hard teachings. They are hard because they contradict our deep instincts. When we are hit on the cheek, the instinctual thing to do, the easiest thing to do, is to hit back. But religion does not ask us to do what is easy. Religion asks us to do what is hard. Christ does not ask us to act instinctively. Christ asks us to act religiously. When our enemies crash planes into buildings, murdering thousands of innocent people, our instinct is to retaliate. Our intention is to seek vengeance. It comes naturally to us. One thing that does not come naturally to us is to love those enemies. It does not come naturally to us to pray for those who persecute us. That does not come naturally to us. But Christ demands it of us. It does not come naturally to us. It comes religiously to us. And accepting this difficulty, doing the difficult thing that comes religiously to us, and avoiding the easy thing that comes naturally to us, this is what separates humans from other animals. We have tasted the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so, unlike other creatures, we are aware of our own death and the death of our enemies. And the price of this knowledge is that we must act religiously, not instinctively. It's not easy, but we must act religiously or die. A few Sundays ago, I unloaded the banker's box number 11 onto my shelf in the office. I was pleased to discover that I'd brought up a box of books that were mostly on the theme of Black and African theology. It just so happens that I'm teaching a class this semester at Northfield Mount Hermon that will involve reading some work by a man named Desmond. Desmond Tutu, the Anglican Archbishop of Cape Town, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1984, and who, along with Nelson Mandela, became known around the world as one of the great important figures in the fight to end apartheid in South Africa. Among the books I just piled onto the bookshelf in my office was a slim volume with Tutu's name inscribed on the spine. Fetching it from the shelf, I held it in my hands, a book that was entitled Crying in the Wilderness, The Struggle for Justice in South Africa. When I opened the book, something fell from the pages onto the floor. I picked it up and examined it. It was a letter. The letter was dated 21st November 1986. Here it is. Dear Professor Koyama, it says, how wonderful of you to write to assure me of your prayers, thoughts, and good wishes on the day of my enthronement. It was a splendid occasion shared with so many friends from all over the world. Thank you for your part in this. I apologize for my very late reply to your letter, but what with the move to Cape Town and the overwhelming number of messages received, it has been an extremely busy time. Your encouragement and support is greatly appreciated, and I enjoyed the cartoon very much. God bless you. Yours sincerely, Desmond Tutu. Through acts, we build upon the love of Christ. Simple acts, like taking off a hat to show respect. Religious acts that overcome our instinct for violence and vengeance. It is through small and grand acts that we, the smallest, youngest, weakest, and most ordinary people, build upon the foundation that Christ laid for us. The important thing is that we act, and that we act with love, and that we do not consider the color of the person's skin when we take off our hats in greeting. Our acts of love are not for some. They are acts of love toward all. Amen.